الصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض. صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the treasures blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us in the different forms. And we ask Allah ta'ala to continue showering His blessings on us, not to take away and deprive us of any of the blessings because of our own ungratefulness, our own shortcomings, our own weakness, our own wastefulness. And we ask Allah ta'ala to remind us and to enable us and to give us opportunity to continuously make shukr and appreciate all these blessings. If we look at the conditions of the people around us, if we look at world conditions, if we hear the stories of people who come from other parts of the world, or when our people go to other parts and come back, it is definitely a statement on their tongue that we here in our country have got a lot to be thankful for, a lot to be thankful for. So they are telling us, they are reminding us, and we must also at all times pick up our hands and tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we appreciate. And we always mention the highest form of gratitude is to use the blessings of Allah ta'ala in His obedience. Respected friends and brothers, at this point in time, we know that the gruesome scenario that is unfolding on a daily basis in the place called Myanmar has captured the attention of the Muslimin, the media, the world media, and even the non-Muslims. And when these type of things happen, then we as Muslimin are supposed to be connected to it with heart and soul, whatever is happening. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that the mu'mineen are like one body, called chasadil wahid. In ishtaka ra'asuhu, ishtaka kulluhu. If the body, for example, the headache is there, the entire body becomes restless. So whatever is happening there, it is supposed to make us restless and make us perturbed and concerned and worried about what is happening. It is supposed to affect us. But we need to know what is happening. And alhamdulillah, whenever there have been any crisis anywhere, when we came to know about it, Muslimin, we're talking of our country now, alhamdulillah, did whatever they could. We made dua, we raised awareness, and also we tried to give some kind of financial assistance, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us. So my brothers, it is important that we are connected. We know and we have a pain in our heart, because more than all of these things here, helping and sending assistance and that, more than all of that is the power of our dua. If we pick our hands up and make dua in absentia for those people that are suffering there, then my brothers, the effect and the power of the dua will do much, much more than what political leaders and NGOs and welfare organizations and whoever else it might be will do. So we must never ever think what my dua will do. Sometimes people say, start Yasin Sharif Khatam. Alhamdulillah. Why don't you start on your own at home and make dua? Your dua at the time of tahajjud, one man with pain in your heart will be so powerful. Then instead of imposing on other people to come and make Yasin Sharif Khatam, I'm using the word imposing because many times people just sit here for the Yasin Sharif because I do not want to be seen, I didn't show any interest, for example, in the problem of whichever country it might be. So we do have Yasin Sharif Khatams also, do it with the proper spirit, not just for the sake of doing it. But the dua must not be lost. Then my brothers, besides the dua, like I mentioned earlier on, we then, when we hear what's happening there, we then make shukr of what we are enjoying here. It makes us very, very aware of the blessings, the little blessings and the big blessings that we are enjoying at all times. That alhamdulillah, we can go and sleep peacefully and get up and have 6 meals a day, that is the 3 main meals and the snacks in between. And we make so much shukr for that, my brothers, when we hear what is happening on that side. So, very briefly today, we will just throw some light on the present crisis and the problem that is unfolding out here in Myanmar. And it will be a little bit of a history lesson, so people who didn't like history can carry on with their normal sleep, because history was a very boring subject in school for us. Now it's my passion, obviously, but at that time it was a good period for us to sleep. My respected friends and brothers, before we actually discuss the crisis, we'll understand it better if we know a few things. One is, where's the location of this place? Number two, what is the past history? Three, what is the recent history? And then we'll understand what is the current situation. So inshallah, I'll try not to bore you, but it is very important if we are connected, because we're not talking about some country just like that. We're talking of a part of our body. That's what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. A part of our body. And if we don't know where our part of our body is, how will we ever even know what to do? Many times, you know, when people, the doctor says, tell your wife that she's got a problem with the womb, and she must put her hand on the womb, and she must apply whatever pressure is. Then we males say that, where is the womb? Because we don't know that part of the body, we don't own it. So in the same way, that part of the body, which is now the Muslimin of Myanmar, are our part. They are hurting, we are hurting. So where is this place? Alhamdulillah, we know that everybody knows where India is. That's where we come from. Somebody doesn't know where he came from, then he needs to go back to school. Then, my brothers, from India, if you look on the eastern side, there's a border running. And on the southeastern, a little lower down, is Bangladesh. And after that, Bangladesh's eastern border, you find a part of Burma, which is a very big country, actually. And the rest of the Indian border further up has also got the Burmese country. The Burma border is running there. We can call it the western or the northwestern, northwestern border of Burma. When it runs right down. Other side, on the east of Burma, there are the countries. Northeast is China, there is Laos, there is Thailand, etc. So that's also important for us to know where this place is. Then right on the south, on the northwest side, we can call it, is Nepal. That is where Burma is. Now, Burma was called Burma many years ago. Then it was known thereafter as Myanmar. And on the western side of Burma is the Bay of Bengal, what we call the Indian Ocean. So this side is sea only. My respected friends and brothers, very briefly, we'll just quickly look at, we can't go 3,000 years BC because it's too far now, we don't have much time. But we'll just start here with when the British were ruling. The British ruled. Before that, there was another rule. But British ruled from 1886 till 1948. That's like more than 100 years. And they were ruling there till 1948. And when the British ruled, they colonized the places. Now, at that time, Burma, Myanmar, was part of the Indian country. It was part of India. And in 1937, the British separated Burma from India. And they did it like how, you know, our British always do, divide and rule. So they created a lot of skirmishes within the people in Burma. And it wasn't a very healthy setup. But there was a lot of problems because of this separation that had taken place back in 1937. However, my brother, we jumped then thereafter to the era of when this India got its independence in 1947 from Britain, you know, right, since the 1947 independence. After that, my brothers, by 1947, there was a person by the name, and this name is important, whose name was Aung San, A-U-N-G, San, Aung San. He was a young political activist, he was a lawyer, and he was very much involved in fighting, and he was communistic in his ideas. And he was also very instrumental in negotiating the independence of Myanmar from the British. That was in 1947. 1948, Burma was finally declared independent. But by 1947, this Aung San was assassinated. He was a very active political person. So he was assassinated. Just remember his name. We'll just not tell you why it is important. Then, my respected friends and brothers, from 1948 till 1962, there were different political systems that came there, and what they could have called maybe their own brand of democracy. 1962, one of the generals that was ruling there, he took over. He had done away with the other rule, and now he declared it military rule. And under military rule, at that time, Burma started going down. Now, when we were growing up in the early 60s, we used to hear our elders, and the older people here will know, they used to speak about the tragedy of Rangoon. This general here, when he was growing up, who declared military rule, he hated the Indians. Indians came to Burma under British rule many, many years ago as civil servants, and they were in charge of important posts, and they made a major difference. It was more than 100 years ago, and they did a great difference. And they also came as what we are very good at doing, trading, mashallah. So as traders, they outclassed and they surpassed in this general year. So he had a hatred for Indians. Around 1962, he had the Indians literally exiled and chased away. We used to hear painful stories. I remember when we were small, and in a Jummah Salah, sometimes the ulama used to make reference to what happened in Rangoon. They say, like, overnight, the wealth the Indian Muslims had there was incredible. It was amazing. They had lots of money. They were in control. They were ruling there, the traders. And overnight, like next morning, they were announced, an announcement where you go from here, you're out. They left with what was on their back. Those who had on shoes, put on their shoes. Those who did not have shoes, were even not given time to put on their shoes. So the older people will tell us that part of the history, which is something else, which is a very, very painful part. So that happened in 1962 with the military rule. And then my respected friends and brothers, that is just by the way we had mentioned, they had also nationalized all the major industries, agriculture, and whatever else there was there. It was all nationalized, all came under military rule. But things were sliding down very, very fast. Another important thing to know is, earlier, Burma became a very strong, predominantly Buddhist country. So the Buddhists were also having a big say. And why I'm saying that? Because you need to keep in mind now, the Buddhist name is coming quite often in all the killings and the massacre that is taking place. The most racist Buddhist fellow, whose name is now being flashed in the social media, who's making announcements and inciting violence against the Muslimin, making up all kinds of scenarios in his mind and announcing it to the people about the Muslimin. It is just fanning the flames of hatred and animosity against the Muslims. He is still alive. He is there. He is a Buddhist. But in any case, even in 2012 and 2013, when there was uprising, it was documented, it was witnessed, and it was reported amount of zulm that the Buddhists had made on Burma. They say, we are a peace-loving people. We love peace, and Buddha preached really a lot of peace. If you read the teaching of Buddhism, it's only about peace. But these Muslims, they don't give us peace, so we need to sort them out. We need to clean this country. So on the basis of that, we find that they are doing that. Then my respected friends and brothers, from 1962 coming down, whatever happened. In 1987, now we have jumped quite far, that's important. This lady, her name is Aung San Suu Kyi, the one whose name you're seeing now in the news. This young lady, I don't know how old or young she is, but you're seeing her picture. She is the daughter of the person I mentioned earlier on, whose name was Aung San, the one who negotiated independence and so forth. She was out of the country, Allah alone knows where, why. But she came back in the country to look after her mother. And because she was a very popular person, being the daughter of an assassinated leader, the democratic struggle started at that time, and a lot of people approached her to give leadership. And she did. But there were two very good qualities about her. One was, she was very peaceful in her campaign. And number two, she came across as a person with a lot of political integrity. And the people loved her. So the military rule did not like it, and they threw her into prison, or rather under house arrest, which she was for 15 years. Therefore, you will see, they say the Nobel Prize winner, Peace Prize winner, this lady, why she won it was because of all that of the past, and plus 15 years of house arrest. And at this point in time, she's not playing her part very well. She's making all kinds of dribbling statements, trying to, you know, blame other people and not sorting the problem out. That's why you maybe saw in the social media, there is a call for her Nobel Peace Prize to be removed, by not Muslims, even by non-Muslims, because of her role and her inaction in as far as this is taking place, and also to a great extent, her support of the Burmese army or the Myanmar army that is causing so much of pain to the Muslimin. So that is this lady who is presently in time. She was the daughter of the person who I mentioned earlier on. My respected friends and brothers, now let us come to the area itself where this problem is taking place. This place is on the, we can say, coming from the north of Burma, west on the western coast, linking up with Bangladesh. Linking up with Bangladesh. And I mentioned to you that the western part of Burma is all coastal area. Now, why this is important to know, my brothers, is because this part, especially the northern area of Arakan, which was called Arakan, now is called Rakhine State. You might be reading that in the news or in the social media. Rakhine State or Arakan is connected to Bangladesh. Now, when the British were ruling, and this is where the whole problem starts, whenever the British put their finger wherever, till today people are suffering the consequences of it. And may the curse of Allah be on those people. So my respected friends and brothers, what they did, they used to allow, because Burma was a province of India, Arakan State was a province of India, Bangladesh was also a part of India, and when they are provinces, people, they move this way and that way, immigration and the rest of it. So there was a lot of immigration that took place from Bangladesh, and there was a lot of immigration that did not take place, because Arakan State, which is now known as Rakhine, was a Muslim kingdom back in 1404, say how far back. There was a Muslim sultan there and they were ruling. We even have pictures of their gold coins and whatever else it might be. So that shows there were a lot of Muslims living there. After the independence that had taken place, when the Burmese army, when the Burmese government took over and when the present system came into place, in 1974, the government of Burma said, those people living in the area of Arakan or Rakhine, we don't recognize them. They all came from Bangladesh, they must go back to Bangladesh. And there are those who came from India, they must go back to India. So this is where the whole problem starts. How do you say that we don't belong here? They say, no, you people look similar to them in features. And you are also talking a language which is very similar. They talk a language which is called Rohingya-i. That's where you get the word Rohingya. People ask, what is Rohingya Muslims? It's the same thing. Because of the language that is being spoken in that part of the world or in that part of the country. So because of this, they say, we do not recognize you. And the only time we will recognize you. So basically, they said, you're not supposed to be living here also. First of all, they strip them of their citizenship. They say, you Rohingyas, living on this part of Arakan State or Rakhine State, which is linked up to Bangladesh, you are not part of us. You are not Burmese, Myanmari citizens. Now, then what are we? Your citizenship has been taken away from you. And later on, not very long after that, they went the extra step of saying, forget about citizenship, we are not even going to call you, we are not going to even allow you to stay here. Forget about anything else. They don't even call them Rohingyas. By state policy decision, they say don't call them. But the minute you call them Rohingyas, you're giving them an identity. When you give them an identity, then you have to now recognize their right of staying in this part of the world. So no, they actually took away that also from the people. And then the persecutions were starting one way after the other. And we find there was a lot of riots that took place and a lot of things that happened, my respected friends and brothers. So who are we? If we are not Burmese people, speaking the Rohingya-i language. See, you are illegal Bangladeshis. Now, when you call somebody illegal Bangladeshis, or you say you are illegal Muslim Bengalis, or you are Bangladeshi Muslims, then it gives them an opportunity to wipe you out more quicker. They are trying to create a thought in the minds of the people that these are illegal. They have invaded our country. It's an illegal invasion. That is why they have put all these policies in place. That now, my brothers, gives them justification of what they are doing. Like right now, from 2012, they're doing it, and even earlier, ethnic cleansing, killing, and murdering, rape, systematic rape and torture and persecution of the Muslimin that has been taking place. It comes up, it is seen, and then it goes down. But underhand is a lot of taking place. And this is where the Buddhist religion shows its ugly face. You know, it's very good to say that those Muslims are terrorists, and those Muslims are terrorists, and those Muslims are terrorists. These are terrorists who are deliberately, as a country, with their government terrorizing. In 2012, you will remember 2013, and even later, we saw images, not doctored images, but of Buddhist monks throwing little children into the trenches of the fire that was seen that time. So my respected friends and brothers, this is what is the present scenario and the situation that these people have been told that they need to leave. So there was riots and uprising, and alhamdulillah, we know, my brothers, no government can oppress anyone for too long, because then there are going to be people that are going to stand up. And there is a Salvation Army, which is called the Arakan Salvation Army. They have stood up basically, and they are resisting. Now obviously when you're going to resist, then you're going to have... So you might hear in the news somewhere that there are terrorists. They're not terrorists, they're standing up for their rights. Any country has got that. People stand up for their liberation. And because of that resistance by the Muslimin army, we find these people have come down so hard on the citizens of Burma as such, and specifically in those areas, and they are doing what they are doing, as you are reading in the news. So when this happened earlier on 2013 and 2012, at that time the statistics, 100,000 people were killed, which is a big number, 125,000 were displaced, and 140,000 fled, and they are refugees at the moment in India, Bangladesh, and in Malaysia. Then, my brothers, again last year and early this year, we find there was again an uprising. And so it carries on. And that is why the United Nations, shukr, at least they opened their eyes and they said something. United Nations spoke, alhamdulillah, we must send them a gift. Because the most toothless body is the United Nations. We all know that. They could do nothing. Our Palestinians are still suffering till today. So what they said, my brothers, United Nations said the most persecuted ethnic minority in the world are the Rohingya Muslims. And you can understand, overnight, over a period of time, they got no state, stateless, defendless, homeless, nameless, citizenless people, my respected friends and brothers. We conclude. So that is what's happening now at the moment. The ethnic cleansing, the attacking, the burning of houses, and whatever else, the burning of people, and all that is carrying on and carrying on. A lot of people got onto the ships and they went away also in 2012. And 2013, and even in 2015, and many of the ships also didn't make it, many drowned, we know all that, when the refugees, even the Syrians, were going over to different parts of the world. Unfortunately, that also happened. Now, these are all our Muslim brothers, like I mentioned right in the start, happening to us. So by mentioning this little history and the location and whatever else, it is to bring to our attention what is going on there. Last thing, besides the Rohingya Muslims, there were Muslims that were living in Burma many, many years. There are those Burmese Muslims who married there and who grew up there and who are there for ages, Burmese Muslims. Then there are the Indian Muslims that we made mention of earlier on. And then there are Chinese Muslims. That's why I mentioned it is on the one border of Burma is actually on the China side. So a lot of Chinese Muslims escape persecution in the Chinese, so they are doing to the Muslims there. That's another discussion for another time. But many years ago, these Chinese Muslims also came here. So they are also here. At the moment, there is persecution of generally, besides the Rohingya, even of Muslims in cities, in Mandalay and wherever else it might be, just because they are Muslims and it's been carried out by the Buddhist monks. So my respected friends and brothers, like I mentioned in the start, most important for us is when we pick up our hands for dua, we make dua for the Muslimin, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove all their difficulties and give them sabr and steadfastness in these moments of stress and tribulation.